Uncle.
What now, Wormwood?
May we go back to a point you made earlier? I'd like to be clear, if only for the record.
What?
I believe you've said that all selves are by their very nature in competition.
Yes.
And therefore the enemy's idea of love is a contradiction in terms.
Yes.
And that the enemy loves the human vermin and really desires their freedom and continued existence. Is that what you said? I want to understand, to be clear, for when I repeat all this later.
Repeat?
At your trial for heresy.
Heresy?
Hmm.
Oh, I see your point, yes. Yes. Now, dear nephew, I have assumed all along that these conversations were entirely confidential between us.
Have you?
Yes, and it would be wrong to repeat anything I've said, since, taken out of context, one might see the appearance of heresy, which, of course, is entirely wrong.
Is it?
Of course it is. And, by the way, I hope you understood, too, that my apparently uncomplimentary references to Slubgob were purely jocular. I really had the highest respect for the old devil.
Jocular. Mm.
And of course some things I said about not shielding you from the authorities were not seriously meant. You can trust me to look after your interests.
I'm sure I can.
The truth is, I slipped by mere carelessness into saying that the enemy really loves the humans. And that, of course, is an impossibility. He is one being. They are distinct from him. Their good cannot be his. All his talk about love must be a disguise for something else. He must have a real motive for creating them and taking so much trouble about them.
Of course.
The reason one comes to talk as if he really had this impossible love is our utter failure to find out that real motive. What does he stand to make out of them? That is the insoluble question.
Is it?
This very problem was the chief cause of our father's quarrel with the enemy. When the creation of man was first at issue, and when, even at that stage, the enemy freely confessed that he foresaw a certain episode about a cross, our father very naturally sought an interview and asked for an explanation.
And?
The enemy gave no reply except to produce the cock and bull story about disinterested love, which he has been circulating ever since. This, our father, naturally could not accept. He implored the enemy to lay his cards on the table and gave him every opportunity. He admitted that he felt a real anxiety to know the secret. The enemy replied, "I wish with all my heart that you did." It was, I imagine, at this stage in the interview that our father's disgust at such an unprovoked lack of confidence caused him to remove himself an infinite distance from the presence with a suddenness which has given rise to the ridiculous story from the enemy's camp that he was forcibly thrown out of heaven. Since then, we have begun to see why our oppressor was so secretive. His throne depends on the secret. Members of his faction have frequently admitted that if we ever came to understand what he means by love, the war would be over and we should re-enter heaven. And there lies the great task. Though we know that he cannot really love, nobody can. Doesn't make sense.
If I may be so bold, why has no one found out what he's really up to?
Hypothesis after hypothesis has been tried, but to no avail. Yet we must never lose hope. More and more complicated theories, fuller and fuller collections of data, richer rewards for researchers who make progress, more and more terrible punishments for those who fail. All this, pursued and accelerated to the very end of time, cannot surely fail to succeed. Is that enough for you, dear nephew?
Yes, Uncle.
Good. And, about the other matter, the the so-called heresy.
Think nothing of it, Uncle.